Jonah chapter 1. If not, just turn anywhere and follow along. Amen. Jonah chapter 1. We're going to read the whole chapter in its entirety. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Verse number 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows." Verse number 17. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." Father, we're so thankful for this time of the service. We're appreciative of the singing, the greeting time, the fellowship. But Lord, this is the time the word of God is open. This is the time, Lord, where the man of God preaches your word to our hearts. I pray, dear God, that we'll take this time very seriously. I pray that we'll understand exactly what is at hand. Decisions can be made that can alter our future for the good or bad. I pray that tonight you'll soften our hearts and be with Pastor Myers. And I pray, dear God, that you would fill him with your spirit and help us to have Holy Spirit, your power as hearers as well. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Of course, around the corner, we're 2 weeks away, 2 weeks and a day away from New Year's. People like New Year's for several reasons. They like it, number one, because it's in the future. And we like to think of the future and think of changes. Most of this month, myself and our staff guys, what we've been working on, other than our normal things, we've been looking to the future. We've been looking to 2018 and thinking, well, you know, what do we want to accomplish, what we'd like to see, setting some goals and just thinking about what the church does, some of the programs and so forth, and what we can do to make them better. And one thing I always like about that, usually when we do that, I'll send the guys off site so we don't get bothered. By the way, if you look on my door, there's a sign there that says, do not knock. I put the sign on the door so that when you knock, it's softer for your knuckles, okay? So knock on top of the sign as you're reading that. There's a way to get hold of me. But we look at things. Like, what are we going to do? We do that personally, too. People like the future. It represents a fresh start in their life, a new beginning. Maybe it's something that didn't go well this year. And you're looking at it, what can I do to make that better in my life next year? Even without New Year, we all still have a future. Just so happens now we're just at that little point where the calendar clicks and we're going to think about it. But we always all have a future. What we are in the future is going to be made up of what we do in the present. Many people, you'll look back at your life many years, and the older you do this, the more you're going to see it. And you're going to see where you're at. In some places, you may like that. In other places, you may look at it, and it may be, maybe you're okay with it, it wasn't what you expected. But some people look back at it and say, you know, this isn't where I wanted to really be. Well, we're going to read a story about a man who ended up there, the verses that Brother Chim read this evening. We all know the story of Jonah very well. God came to Jonah and gave him a dictate, a command, what to do. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach against that city. And by the way, Nineveh was a very Jew-hating, sounds like some preachers on the internet, see, was Jew-hating, and very, very, very evil people. They were very cruel. When they would take over a city, and they would kill everybody. Not just kill them, they would do it very publicly, so other people would get to know what was going on. They cut off their heads, and outside the city limits, they would stack them up in little pyramids, so that other cities that they were coming against would know these are not some people to be messed with. So I can understand Jonah thinking, let God call somebody else. But God had called him. So Jonah pays the fare, gets on a ship to go the other direction. And as he's going in direction, God sends a storm. I want you to notice that the mariners actually displayed more compassion than Jonah. He's sleeping at the bottom of the ship. They figure Jonah said, hey, call upon your God. Something bad's happening here. Jonah tells him the story and says, I guarantee you this is happening because of me. Throw me overboard. Now, he would have only had to ask once. I would have said, sorry about this, brother. I would have said, who's getting his feet? Who's getting his hands? We're chucking this guy. But they tried to row to the land. And finally, when that wasn't working, they're like, you know what? Jonah's idea was pretty good after all. They throw him overboard, and Jonah ends up in the belly of the fish. If you didn't know the story of Jonah, and all you did was read the first and the last verse of the chapter, you would get the gist of what happened. You'd figure out, man, what went wrong? Verse 1 says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now that's a good thing. God's word came to him. By the way, Jonah was a prophet. He was used to that. And then you read the last verse. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. If you just read those two verses, you're like, what happened? We had a prophet on the run. But I want to focus in. I was reading this recently, and that last part of the verse got me. He was in the belly 3 days and 3 nights. That's a lot of think time. You know, when things don't go well, and you have time to sit down and think about it, that is an awful long time. Those 3 days and those 3 nights represent something to Jonah. They represent the destination he ended up at. And they represent what got him there in the first place. 3 days and 3 nights. You say, oh, that's one of those stories in the Bible I just can't get. That just doesn't make sense, that he was swallowed by a great fish and he was in his belly for 3 days and 3 nights. Well, the Bible says it happened, and I just happen to believe what the Bible says. Now, I know as I was studying this, I was reading a couple commentaries, and one guy, they gave some stories back in the early 1900s and 1800s where a man fell overboard. They caught the whale later, and much later, and that man was still in there. But even if they never found something like that, God said it, so it's true. We're just listening to people that want to criticize it. But where Jonah ended up, those 3 days and 3 nights, represented what he had done. By the way, if you're a Christian, nothing in your life happens by accident. Well, that boy, you're just having some good luck. There's no such thing as good luck. There used to be this false teacher guy. He was famous many years ago. His name was Reverend Ike. Anybody ever hear of him? And he was one of these guys where, you know, you send him your money and God will bless you. And the only one that was getting blessed was him, not by God, because he was taking your money. But he'd say, if you send your money, all these good things are just going to happen by accident. No joke. His number was 1-800-GET-LUCK. Okay? There is no luck. Luck doesn't happen. God is in control, and God's a part of every aspect of our life, even when we make bad decisions. 3 wasted days and 3 wasted nights that he spent. Oh, but I'm sure that God used this situation to teach Jonah some lessons in his life. Well, I sure hope he did, but I would rather learn the lessons on dry land. I would rather learn the lessons from somebody else that was in the belly for 3 days and 3 nights. He didn't have to go there to learn everything that God wanted him to do. And sometimes, I'll throw this in, it's not really part of the message, but sometimes, you young kids that are growing up in our school and you've grown up in our church and you hear somebody that has a testimony, a little bit like some of us have had, where we didn't grow up in Christian families and we had issues in our life and we went through some things. And it's like, well, God still is a part of your life and you know, God taught you some lessons through that. Listen, I'd much rather that you learn the lessons without ever going through that. And there's still scars and things that we carry and we deal with that you don't have to deal with. So it's better to learn from somebody else than spending that time in the belly of the fish yourself. Okay, I thought I'd just throw that out there for you. Because what you do is you look at the world and you're like, man, I want to go taste some of that. Others have survived it. Listen, you won't survive it. Okay, you won't survive it. But anyhow, back to reality here. 3 days and 3 nights. What does that represent? It represents a few things here, and I want us to get that as Jonah was in that belly. First of all, it represents the decisions we face. The decisions we face. Jonah is sitting there, and I'm sure a lot's going on. But if he had time to think, and we know he did because we see how he prayed in Jonah chapter 2. He had time to think about those decisions he made off the cuff at the time that got him to where he was. And he had to sit there and think about it. And I wonder if he thought, boy, I wish I could change that decision. I wish I could change that decision. I wish I could change that decision. We call that regret. There were several bad decisions he made. And decisions we have to make. First decision we need to make is, will we hear? The Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. And it was very specific. It told him exactly what he was supposed to do. By the way, that's exactly what God's word is. It's God's instructions that tell us exactly what we're supposed to do. Not that we look into the Bible and see what we think we can get away with doing. It always irritates me, and maybe I'm just, I didn't have a good nap today, Brother Jim. But these kids will come up, well, you know, I just don't do that because that's just not my conviction. Have you studied it? A teenager one time, they came to our, they could graduate from high school, and it was when their parents never came to church. And we were trying to help them. Okay, well, you know, these just aren't my convictions. I'm like, you haven't cracked a Bible open in years. But do we look in the Bible to find out what God wants us to do, or are we trying to find a way to pacify our conscience so we can do what we want to do? I sounded mean for a minute. I'll go home and have some hot chocolate, and I'll be better. And I don't mean to be mean. I'm just saying, let's have this attitude. I just want to hear what God says. That's all. That's just the attitude we should have. And when we come into a situation with a preconceived, look, Jonah heard that, and his mind, he's like, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. He's like, all right, what do you want, Lord? Nineveh. Okay, I'm going somewhere else. That is not what he wanted to hear. It's like some of the teenagers go, I don't know, if I'm a missionary, God's going to call me to Siberia. Listen, no one lives in Siberia. You ain't going there. Okay? So he ain't going to do that. Well, I'm just hoping he calls me to Hawaii. Okay, isn't everybody? But when we think like that, we have the wrong mentality. We think that what God tells us is not good for us. But let me just tell you something. You're never, ever, ever going to go wrong following God. You're never going to follow God and get down the road and say, man, I regret that. Never. Jonah had time to hear that. The best way to think about it is this. The God of the universe, and he is the God of the universe. He loves me so much, he wants to talk to me and direct my life into that which is best for me. I'd be okay with that. Everything in God's word is good for us. But will we hear? Because the reason we don't want to hear is because we're going to get to the next decision we have to make is, will we follow? Because when we hear, now we're accountable to do what he's told us. Now, by the way, as a Christian, you're accountable already. You can choose not to crack open your Bible. You can choose not to hear what God has to say. You can put, you know, I've told the story before. I had a bus route when I was in Bible college, and I had these Chinese kids, and it was Yang was his name. Now, Yang was not one of the nicest kids on the bus. And Yang would start messing up, and I'm like, Brother Steve, Yang won't pay attention. So I'm like, hey, Yang. And I go, and as soon as he saw me coming, he would do this. Ah. I'm like, hey, listen to me. Listen. And I'm like, forget it. Just do what you want. Okay. He's like, I don't want to hear it. I'm not listening. But we don't want to hear because we don't want to follow. We don't want to. We might be pushed into something that we don't think is right or best for us. I tend to think of it this way. Let's think positively. I want to find what God has for me because I know that's best for me. Will we follow? He said in verse 3, Jonah made the bad decision, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that silly? To think we can actually flee from God's presence? And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. The best path, the one that Jonah found out later was best for him, was the path to follow. But I'll just be honest with you. I'm just like you. You're just like me. We tend to want to do the opposite of what we're told, right? We're not like, you know, come on. That's us. That's flesh. Flesh is like, do this. And it's like, all of a sudden, I just don't want to do it. That's our innate rebellion. But we have to get past that because God wants us to follow. We have that decision. Everyone who follows Christ should say we go where he goes, we do what he says, and we love what he loves. But it all comes down to this. Why we don't follow? Will we trust? That's why we don't follow. Because ultimately, now we won't say it out loud, and in our own minds we'll even talk ourselves out of it, but we really don't trust God. We don't trust him. Because if we trusted him, we would do what he says because he says it. I gave this story during stewardship, but many years ago, there was a late 1800s, there was a pastor, and I don't know how he got away with this, but he was in a small, struggling church, and there was a man that started coming to his church, and this man owned a chain of like, we would call them back then, they were called five and dime stores. They'd be like department stores. And he asked the pastor one day point blank, he goes, are you tithing like you should? Because he wasn't making a lot of money, and he goes, I'll just be honest with you, we're struggling financially, the church, and I haven't been. And this businessman told him, he goes, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start tithing right now. He goes, and I'll tell you what, if you're ever short, he goes, just call me and I'll give you the money you need if you're tithing. He goes, I'll make sure you're taken care of. Don't worry about it. The pastor said, I'll take you up on that. So he started giving. Now, I think he had some other issues there, but we'll move on. He started giving, and 6 months down the line, he had this thought. He never had to ask the guy for money. He thought, wait a minute. What am I doing trusting this man more than I'm trusting God? That's our problem. We don't trust God. Because if we trust God, we would believe. Now, I'll be honest, Jonah had legitimate reason to in his own mind to kind of doubt that thing. But he shouldn't have, because he should have just said, you know, listen, all the other prophets did these kind of things. He should have said, you know what? I should just trust God. If God says do it, I'm in. We have a trust problem. You know what we trust? We trust circumstances. By the way, the circumstances for Jonah worked out swimmingly. Think about it. He went down to Joppa, and he's going to run from God, and there's a ship waiting for him. I mean, can you sense God's direction here? I mean, you know, this was not the days where you pop open your phone and like, can I catch a flight somewhere? He went down there. There's a ship waiting. God is in this. He had the financial means to pay for the ticket. God's providing for me. This must be his will. He was even able during the storm to sleep at the bottom of the ship. You know what? He had a peace about his decision. But it was the wrong decision. By the way, if we have a spiritual enemy, you know, sometimes he'll try to work things out for us. That's why we never trust circumstances, ever. You know, you're trying to do something. It's like, this works out, but there's something just a little shady going with it. But I thought this whole thing was good. God directed me. I remember when we were in Florida, we got down there and we were struggling financially. A bunch of us had went down there and started church, and we couldn't find full-time jobs, and we were just working day labor, you know. And so one day I had a job, one of these, you know, the one-day jobs, and they pay you, and if they need you the next day, they'll call you. It was really inconsistent. And so I just felt like that day. I thought, you know, I just need to go job hunting today. And I called one of the other guys. I said, listen, I got a job for today. Why don't you take it? I want to go job hunting. And he's like, oh, I'll take it. So I drove to Tampa. I didn't have a newspaper. I'm just going to go to some places. The first place I went to, the lady says, we're not hiring. Amen. Like, let me fill an application anyhow. She goes, all right. I filled it out, and she said, the boss wants to interview right now. He gave me a job right there on the spot. And I'm thinking, I was supposed to work. This is a first place, out of the blue, loading. I just pulled up. He said, you got to take a drug test. Or I'm sorry, you got to take a lie detector test. Now, I don't know what the problem is. I don't pass those things. I don't. And I took the lie detector test, and he said, call me up after that. We'll get you started. I called him up. He goes, hold on a second. He goes, no, you lied. See you later. Boom. I was upset about that one. And I told the guy up front, I said, I don't know why I fail these things, but you know, I'll be honest with you about it. They ask you questions. How many ever take a lie detector test? They ask you questions like, have you ever stolen from your boss? I'm like, yeah, here's what I did, you know, and here's in the past. Like, and then they ask you the question on the lie detector test. Doot, doot. Other than what you've told us, have you ever stolen anything? The answer is no. They said, I went to one of them. They told me I lied about everything, including my name. I'm like, I got my wallet here. You want to double check that thing? But I was so upset. I just felt God was in that. I thought, man, he worked everything out. I was supposed to be working it out. First place I go to, they're not taking applications. And I said, give me one anyhow. And they interviewed me on the spot. What happened? But, you know, come to find out a couple weeks later, I got a supervisor job running a crew somewhere, which was much better pay and much better hours. Okay, so circumstances don't necessarily dictate where you're supposed to be. Quit using that as an excuse. Like the guy wanted to find God's will. He flipped open the Bible. Lord, speak to me today. And he put his finger on a verse, and it says, and Judah went and hanged himself. He said, okay, I don't want to do that. He said, let me try that again. And he put his finger, opened the Bible, boom. Go and do thou likewise. He said, okay, let me just try this one more time. He opens it up, puts his finger down. It says, what thou doest, do quickly. Okay, it's not how you get God's will. So why Jonah was in the belly 3 days and three nights because of the decisions. Secondly, it also represents the consequences we will experience. Consequences. Every decision you make has a consequence. Positive or negative. What you experience depends on the choices that you make. Now, teenagers, listen up here. Some of the most important decisions you'll ever make in life, and I don't know why, are in your younger years. You can really mess up your life in your younger years. You can. And so it's good for us to make the right decisions, because right decisions bring right consequences. And for those of us that got saved later, if you could, you'd jump up and say, amen. Okay? So it represents those, as he sat there in those 3 days and three nights, he's thinking like, I know why I'm here. I shouldn't be here. By the way, going and preaching in Nineveh is a lot better than being in the belly of the fish thinking you're going to be digested fairly soon. What happens what are some of the bad consequences we can face? Well, he started down. I know it's just a word in there. Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Now, I know it's probably just geographically, but I kind of like that word because that is where he was going. He was going down. Anywhere from God's will is a step down. And he went down into the ship. Wrong decisions lead to a wrong direction. Mark it down. If you start making decisions that are not the scriptural decisions, it's going to lead to a wrong direction. Now, on the positive, right decisions lead to right directions. If you end up in a good place as you're going down your life, when you look back and say, man, God's been with me and I'm right where God wants me to be, you've made some decisions along those lines and you're all going to face them. We all going to face them. and you were willing to follow the word of God, not what other people say, not what society is telling us, not what seems like the cool thing, not even what, unfortunately, our flesh jumps up and tells us to do. We got to rebuke all that. And we make the right decisions. We look down the line and say, man, I'm in a good place. Why? That's the right consequence. Decisions make direction. He started down the second he said in his heart, I'm not going to Nineveh. I ain't doing it. So he started down. Next, we see he ended deep. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, he's in the belly of the fish, and he says, and I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods can pass me round about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. I think there's the man that wrote John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. He has a little autobiography he wrote many hundreds of years ago called Out of the Depths, because that was his life. He was in the deep. He had a Christian mother running from God, just evil. God totally transformed his life. Jonah. Look at the description of where he ended up. I cried. That doesn't sound like a good thing. He wasn't crying tears of joy. My affliction, the belly of hell, into the deep. The floods compassed me. Waves passed over me. See, we think the decisions we make are going to bring us pleasure, but if they're not the right decisions, they ultimately bring us pain. And the decisions we make that are right to push what the flesh says is pleasure actually does lead to that which is right. Small things are big decisions that produce huge results. Think about your life. Careful with the opposite sex, whether you're a young person or a college-age single or a married person. You make some bad decision in that area of morality. It starts with small decisions. Social media, texting. Well, we have to text and email back and forth for work, and they say some little comment there. That's the time to say, drop dead, bozo, in the name of the Lord. Okay? Don't, that's just a coworker. That's just who they are. Tell them you're married. Somebody says some inappropriate comment, just say, that'll be the last one. I don't ever want to hear that again. I'll tell my husband what you said. Next time, I'll go to the boss. So I don't want to be seen like that. It's better to be seen like that and be right than ruin your marriage. Okay. Well, that's just how the world is. I'm just joking. Listen, I don't want to hear that. Everybody's just joking. Ha, 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 ha. But you let that go, and what happens? It goes farther and farther and farther. Some of you kids, you sneak around. Get on your parents' devices. Now, they shouldn't give you one. Okay. And you little comments. It always starts small. Be very careful. Be careful who influences you. Well, I have some friends. The second yet friend starts to show a direction that's anti-God, you better just back away a little bit. Careful what you allow into your life, the music you listen to. I'm not going to beat that over the head again. The things you watch, the things you listen to. Small decisions with our family. You don't have time together ever. All the nonsense there. Your spiritual life. We start cutting back on some of the things we know we should do. Well, I'm doing a majority of the things, but I'm just going to cut back a little. A little always becomes a lot. A little always becomes a lot. It always starts with those small decisions. Sometimes people want to mock, I don't think boys and girls should ever touch each other until they get married. I'll say that again. Didn't go over very well, Brother Pichardo. I don't think boys and girls, men and women, should touch each other until they get married. Okay? I'm not going to touch my wife when we were dating. She wasn't my wife. That wasn't my privilege. That's not going over well. I know this. Well, we're just going to hold hands. There was a Bible. When we started the church in Florida, there was a Christian college there. It went out of business. Clearwater Christian College. It was pretty big at one time. And so I worked with the teenagers, and some of the teenagers and staff members came to our church and were in my science school class. I'd go over there and play basketball with them at their gym and hang out with them. They had a rule. You couldn't touch except you could hold hands. Listen, people are very creative. Now, when they said you could hold hands, stand up, Charlie. I'm not going to hold your hand, buddy. Something like this. Keep your hand away from me. Like that. They're just like, we're walking, we're holding hands. Listen, they would hold two hands staring at each other that far apart. Now, ladies, let me explain something about a man to you. He'll tell you he's happy with that, but he is a no good liar. Either that or he's waiting for the parade in May. Okay? Because once you take a step, you're going to want to take another step. And if you're not careful, the steps lead to where you... So it's just best to not touch. Small decisions lead to bad consequences. Okay. Well, I made everybody happy. Number three. This also represents to Jonah the opportunities we receive. He received. See, he should have thought of it as a positive, not a negative. Now, again, I'm not going to criticize the guy, because what if God told you to be a missionary to ISIS? We're just going to parachute you in there, running around your Bible. Okay, how many of you be excited about that? I know. I would say, here am I, Lord, send Pachardo. And Brother Chimp can go with him as his backup. Okay, but there was... What he should have saw is, wait a minute, now God's specifically telling this, what a great opportunity he's giving me. By the way, we should see that I'm not trying to be negative all the time, let's be positive. We should see the things that God tells us as a good thing. They're opportunities. It's just that the devil's got our minds so mixed up, we see everything as a net. I can't do this, I can't do that. Let's see it this way. I can do this and I can do that. God wants me to do that, and God wants to work in my life. It's an opportunity. He got an opportunity to follow God right away. Boy, that would have been the thing, like, yes, sir, Lord, I'm out of here. Now, Jonah did hightail it to Nineveh. It was a 3 days journey, and he got there in a day. Now, that was after 3 days in the fish. Then he got motivated. He just said, I have an opportunity to follow God and do something amazing, right? But he didn't see it that way. We have an opportunity to follow God right away. It's always best. Listen, we have a multitude of people in here. Some of you grew up in the church. Some of you came in the church maybe a little later. Some of us came in as almost adults, and we weren't following God. That wasn't a part of our life. Listen, wherever you're at in your life and you're here now, this is the opportunity. Let's follow from here on out. Let's say, man, this is it. Fresh opportunity. I'm in. Let's run. To follow right away. Now, for those of us that maybe struggle sometimes, he also gives us opportunity to follow when we stray. He prays in chapter 2. And by the way, I noticed in chapter 2, he didn't ask God to deliver him. He just confessed his mistakes and what he did. And God heard it and said, I'm going to give him another chance. And he gets spit out. Now, that probably was not a pretty sight. 3 days of digestive juices. No wonder the people in Nineveh listened. Okay? Man from the dead preaching, you might want to pay attention to what he's got to say. But... So what happens after he gets spit out? Chapter 3 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God's going to speak again. Here we go. Ready? What's his new message? Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach the preaching I bid thee. Exact same thing he was supposed to be doing last time. The message didn't change. The word didn't change. He had another opportunity. It wasn't like God said, okay, let's scratch that one. That was a total disaster. Let's try something different. God's like, no. Welcome back. Now go back to Nineveh. See, if you go straight from God, when you come back, everything you're supposed to be doing is waiting for you. You got to be doing it. We tend to stray from God in certain areas. We got to get back to those areas. What you mean? Yeah, it's all right there. The Bible hasn't changed. But God is gracious to give us another opportunity to do the right thing. Now, we must be very careful. We can always come back, but let's be careful we don't use that as an excuse to continue to do our own thing, because the more you come back, the more you go away and come back, the less you have to come back to. But when God gives an opportunity to come back, let's jump right in and do what we're supposed to do. God wants us to fulfill the responsibilities that we're supposed to fulfill. Those have consequences. What is it in your life that you have been neglecting? Could be a relationship with God. Maybe you've strayed in that area. You know what God wants you to do? He says, all right, that's okay. That's why we waste the Bible reading. You know, and I hope that, you know, we do the Bible reading every year. We're not passing out certificates anymore. We don't have time for that. We're going to encourage you to read your Bible. Just do it. By the way, you're not going to do it for a certificate, right? If you've been reading your Bible, listen, I don't need 27 certificates for every year I've been here. All right? Now, we're going to encourage you to, if you want a certificate, come see me. I'll print one up for you. I may draw it on a napkin and sign my name to it for you. If you want a certificate, we'll give it to you. But too many people, you start every January, and by February, it's like we're done. You don't know that there's more than four books in the Bible. Okay? Let's just do it. Okay? That's an easy thing. Maybe it's our faithfulness and the things of God, whether it's coming to church or serving Him or doing this or doing that. Hey, we always have an opportunity to say, you know, Lord, I messed up there. Let me take care of that and get right back at it and do the right thing. Isn't God gracious? He could have said, man, spit that guy out. Let him go somewhere else. We'll give him another job. No. Say, all right, Nineveh's waiting. Let's go. To follow when we stray. You struggling tonight? You get back to where you're supposed to be. And the last thing, we won't spend a lot of time on it. It also was a result of the attitudes that we show. The attitudes. Now, I'm not going to read it, but you look at chapter 4. The book of Jonah does not end on a good note. He does God's will, and he gets a second chance. But as we look through that chapter 4, we find out why he didn't go in the first place. He goes to Nineveh. His message is very simple. 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Now maybe the message was a little bit longer than that. That's all we heard. Maybe they had some special music and took an offering and simple give whatever. I'm not sure. But it doesn't sound to me that Jonah was really excited. But he did it. 40 days, Nineveh's going to be destroyed. Thanks for coming. Ushers have a bulletin for you when you leave. And guess what happens? The king hears about it. And they didn't all get saved, but a lot of them repented. A lot of them, ashes, ripping themselves, showing sorrow to God for what they did. Now, I don't know about you, but if here's a wicked city, everybody got saved, you know, they turned to God. I didn't get killed. These are mortal enemies of the Jews. That's a pretty good meeting, right? That's like coming down to Long Beach and say, listen, 40 days, Long Beach is going to be destroyed. And if God was ever going to destroy a city, ours might be in line. But, and then the mayor, this would never happen, the mayor declares a fast and says, we need to turn to God, we're wrong, and everybody in the city does it. And every church in the city is full. That's pretty good. You know what Jonah said? He got mad at God. And he has the audacity to tell God this. That's why I ran. Because I knew you were compassionate. And I knew you would give him another chance. That's not an evangelist we're going to have preaching here anytime soon. Jonah didn't want him to get help. The reason Jonah didn't go to Nineveh, partially because they were like that, but more of the problem was his attitude. God, I know God. God will forgive them, and they won't get judged. Now, I've heard people preach that I think that that's how they're like. They preach on hell because they almost feel like you should go there. You know, they hate everybody. Okay? He had the wrong attitude. If we have the wrong attitude about God and His Word, we're going to have the wrong actions towards God and His Word. What is our attitude? Now, the thing about attitude, it's that one thing inside all of us nobody sees. Like that verse, I think it's in Psalm. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It doesn't say if I'm committing iniquity, God doesn't hear me. He says if I just have a regard for it in my heart. Wow. The inside's important. See, we need to build ourselves up strong inwardly, then we'll be willing to obey God outwardly. But our outward actions are nothing more than a reflection of our inward attitudes. That's why the firm foundation is so important. That's who you really are. Who are you really? Now, I think we have a lot of great people in our church, but you can fool us. I could fool you. He fools me. Okay? Nobody. You don't fool anybody, cowboy. But if we have the wrong spirit, if we have the wrong thought process, I don't want to get close to God, because if I get close to God, this is going to have to happen, and that's going to have to happen in my life. Listen, I was so blown away when I walked into church, 18 years old, and I'd hear the preacher, I'd read the Bible. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. What? That's wrong? I'm supposed to do this? But I had already decided in my heart, I just want to do what God wants me to do. So it blew me away, but I'm like, I'm in. I don't get it, and that's kind of, wow, but I'm in. But some of us have a different attitude inside. And one of these days, we're going to end up somewhere we don't want to be. And we're going to think about everything. We're going to think about those decisions we made in our life that got us to where we're at. We're going to think about those consequences that we've been experiencing. The attitudes that led to our actions. All those different things. Now, I'll say this and I'm done. We can look at it from two angles. We're going to look back at all those things and say, thank God I did the right things. I tried to make the right decisions. I experienced some of the right consequences. I'm trying to keep my attitude right. Now, our attitudes aren't always going to be right. I get it. Or we're going to look back with regret. The one thing I don't want you to do, and I don't want to do, I don't want to look back at the end. Now, all of us, because we're not perfect, will look back with some regret. We always look back and say, man, I wish I could have done more. That's not to slam ourselves. But I don't want to look at the end of my life and say, I did nothing. I got saved. And I look back at my life, and what do I have to show for it? A place to live? Money? Whatever it is? And there's nothing wrong with those things. But I hope I could look back and say, you know, I tried to the best of my ability to do what God wanted me to do. I tried to the best of my ability to follow him. So that choice is yours. What's your future going to be? 3 days and three nights. Jonah had a lot of time to think. But the best thinking is to think ahead before we end up there. Let's stand together this evening.